The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Christmas 2019, and we start with Joe, not the ho-ho-ho. And have we considered how awesome the first Christmas parents were? And finally, trivia, but just for trivia's sake.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, by the way, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio, and it's hardly radio at that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let's start off with some acknowledgement to our sponsor. Had a chance to connect with Clint a little bit today. He's got big plans going all over the country in the next couple days. And so we just pray him for traveling mercies for him as he gets prepared for that. We're going to have to double up our interview in January. That's what we're going to do. Now we're going to do two interviews in January. You got to do what you got to do. But we want to give props to Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke damage cleanup, wind damage cleanup, flood damage cleanup, any kind of cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services, all from Mr. Restore. You get there by going to MrRestore.com. We just want to let you know that there are thousands of happy customers, and if you've got something going on and it's kind of a tragedy at the house and you got to get it cleaned up, or if you're a property management person or a real estate person, you're thinking, I need help with this, Mr. Restore is the answer for you. You want to get in touch with them through the website, which is MrRestore.com. Or davidspoonmedia.com. We have a link right on our website that you can get to them and connect with them. They usually get back to you within 60 minutes, no matter what it is and no matter what's going on. So we certainly wish them a Merry Christmas. We ask that the Lord blesses them throughout the rest of this year and the whole year next year. And we look forward to having Clint as well, potentially as Mo from the Adaptive Training Foundation, the group that helps people that have severed limbs make a comeback. Loving it. Loving it. We're hopefully going to have Mo on as well as Clint. Looking forward to that. That is a good thing. Let me say hello. Let me say start the week off right. Let me say to our very own, Wonder Julie, Merry Christmas. How you doing, Wonder Julie?
Merry Christmas back at you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We had a good weekend. My wife and I, when we had the grandkids in before, we had to take the beds and separate them all over the bedroom so that everybody sleeping in one room, because we do that. It's like a camp out, right? And so finally yesterday, after church, we finally put it all back together so that it looks like a normal room. And then, of course, because I'm used to the other way, I slept terrible because I'm not used to it, and it takes a little while to make the adaptation. So we're going to have a little bit of fun today. I don't want people to be freaking out. You know it's Christmas. We know there's a couple of things that are going on. There was some Christian friction from Christianity Today making political statements, and then there's a whole bunch of evangelicals pushing back, and they're pushing back and forth, and it's like, dude, dudette, It's Christmas. What's wrong with you people?
Can't you be nice one day of the year?
I mean, one day of the year. Can you take your politics and move it to the side, for goodness sake? Oh, wait, that's part of the end of a song. For, you know, be good for goodness sake. Anyhow, the point is, everybody, just do me a favor, read John 13:35 and figure out how to operate in that. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another, versus everybody whining. Just a little less
wow.
Sorry.
Wow. All I can say is wow.
I like that. That was good, though. That was a great play. How did you pick that? That's a perfect timing.
I went to type something into Google.
No.
And to look, I was going to look at
came
Mr.
Up?
And,
all right.
Yeah, so apparently it also will throw those things out.
No. I like that, though. That's a great sound, by the way. I do like that. All right, so today, you know what holiday? I'm going to make this real easy. You know what holiday is? Okay, first of all, it's National Date Nut Bread Day. Okay. Anyway, that's all right. National Cookie Exchange Day. This is the day you're supposed to make cookies and give them to one another.
Okay.
All right, so I like that. And then for those, and if you get legalistic on me and you're listening to this show and you get legalistic, change the station or turn it off. Because today is Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us. Remember Seinfeld, that episode where they did this, the whole thing? And it's like Festivus for the rest of us. It's a Festivus miracle. Do you remember that?
I've just heard the clips. I wasn't
all right.
Seinfeld.
Well, just so you can know, it's 22 years old that it was played at. So it's like, come on. It's a long time ago. It was a joke. Everybody relaxes. It was pretty funny. Just a couple of historical things. Not a lot of history taking place on this day. I think people are chilling out. It is an amazing football remembrance. Today in 1972, the famous football play, the Immaculate Reception, took place when Franco Harris scored a touchdown on a pass thrown by Terry Bradshaw. That's, for football fans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Also in 1986, the Voyager became the first aircraft to fly nonstop around the world.
Wow.
That's pretty good. And then the last thing, and I found this one. Now, this information is iffy. So if I'm telling you it's iffy, it was not verified by three or four sources. But it is supposed that on this day, Roy Brown was credited with shooting down the Red Baron in 1918 on this day. Canadian World War I flying ace Roy Brown got credit for shooting down the Red Baron on this day in 1918. Maybe. I mean, you know, it's a little sketchy. I can tell you that my grandfather was actually in 1918 in the Air Force. So people don't know that. So you're thinking, how's that possible? He's was 102 when he died. 103.
Wow.
He was old. He was old. He was the guy that taught me. He took three walnuts, put them in his hand, and goes, "Watch this!" And goes, and then used pressure, and then broke all three. And I was like, I thought at first he was strong, and then I figured out it was just a pressure thing. Grandparents, you gotta watch them. You know, gotta keep an eye on them. All right, let's do a little bit of our teaching. We may have a giveaway. We're trying to get verification on that as well. But I want to get into this teaching, and I'm going to do my teachings a little differently. I have nine really classical Christian messages, and today won't be one of them because I'm assuming you're hearing them left and right all day long. And so today we're going to do a little different. We're going to go after the ABCs of Joseph. The ABCs of Joseph. By the way, the name Joseph. We're talking about Joseph and Mary. Joseph means Jehovah increases. So his name and his position was well picked. I think everybody can agree. I just want to come up with these characteristics that I've reviewed before that have to do with Joseph. They're fascinating, and they give us a great insight into who I consider to be one of the least recognized figures in the New Testament, since everything runs after Joseph and Mary in the whole process of raising up Jesus. Everything runs after that, and they just get very little props for it, which I think is crazy. Let me start off with Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, where it says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife." So let's just start off the whole conversation by being very, very specific about Joseph getting the acknowledgement that he should get. He had a dream from God. Let's make full clarity. This wasn't Bible. He didn't get a scripture. He didn't have a prophet come in the name of a prophet. This was the breakout of the 400 years of silence that people call the 400 years of silence. There's a little bit of theological debate there. But the bottom line was the guy had a dream, and in the dream, the angel of the Lord spoke to him, and he got up and he did what he was supposed to do based on the dream, based on God's personal instruction to him. So the first thing you get is this guy, he was obedient to the Lord. I want to point out, which I don't feel gets enough credit in all of society, a little bit better. And again, a lot of people talk about Mary's father in this situation, but I just want you to imagine being Joseph and the woman that you're pledged to, that you're going to be marrying, shows up and she's pregnant. So you're thinking, okay, right, yeah, not liking that. And then you ask her, yeah, okay, Mary, what happened here? Whose baby is it? And she says, it's God's kid. Okay. So now she's pregnant, and she's telling you that God did it. And you're the dad who's in the contractual arrangement to marry her. You're the guy that's going to marry her, and you're going to spend the rest of your life, and you're sitting there thinking, I'm starting off my life. I'm going to be marrying this woman, and I'm getting you're pregnant before we got together, and we've been apart for a while. Contractually, they were apart for about 6 months. And then it turns around that they, in fact, she's telling Joseph that God was the one who did it. Now, the fact that Joseph didn't get on a horse and just start booking it is a lot of credit to who he was. Some people think that he was older than Mary. I don't really care if he was older or not. Anybody that would come in with that story and say, yep, I'm pregnant. Okay, well, I haven't been around, so how'd that happen? It was God. It would be like, what? And yet, faithful and true, he had a dream, and in the dream, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, hey, this is what's going on, this is what's taking place. And instead of sitting there and trying to ask for, which I would do, and you would do, and everybody else who's hearing my voice would do, instead of asking for 15 or 20 signs, well, I'd like to have a sign that this is you. He was smart enough to know that in the dream, when the angel spoke to him, it was like, okay, this is God. We're doing this. Let's go. Instead of making this big production out of it, right, he's going to fleece the Lord. If anybody should have fleeced the Lord, bam, right there, that guy. But he took it. He took the personal instruction, by the way. Nobody else had the dream. There wasn't 5,000 other people that had the dream that went up to Joseph and said, you had the dream, right? You got to do what the dream said. You know that, right? He had a dream and he went, okie dokie. Sometimes our faith gets really complex. Sometimes we should just say yes and do it. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Now, up there on the website, we've added from Friday's show four short, I think each one's about 8 minutes, encouragements that have to do with relentless faith when you are facing the most difficult situations. And I talk about the situation that me and my family is facing and how you still have to hold hope in the midst of all of the struggle and all the trial. You know, here's the bottom line. We can't quit. Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go to? You never give up, do you? No. You move forward. You might not understand everything. In fact, you mostly won't understand everything. But what if God is doing something completely different and you just aren't privy to it? Pretty much like the Job scenario. So that is on the website, davidspoonmedia.com. We encourage you to check that out. We think you will find it to be a blessing. All right, we're going to get into the second characteristic on Joseph. So we're talking about Joseph in this one, and then tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Mary. Hopefully that will go well. And then we have got confirmation that on Wednesday, when we're not here on Wednesday because it's going to be Christmas, there will be a radio show you have never heard before. It is my testimony sewn together from a couple of different sermons. And in those different sermons, we have taken those and put those together to try and make as succinct succinct testimony as we could put together. And that's kind of the best way to say it. Let's start off with a trivia in this segment. We'll keep this one easy just because we're kind of in an easy and kind of simplistic mood. According to the Bible, how many pearly gates are there? And there is an answer. And there is a correct number. And if you're trying to figure out where to find that, you're looking at Revelation. All I'm going to say is it's in the 20s from a chapter point of view. Revelation, it's in the 20s. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. How many pearly gates? There is a specific number. There is a specific answer. This is not a test. This is a question. It's trivia. All right, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 19 says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. For those that are trying to understand how that comes about when people are pledged to be married, in the times of Jesus, when there was a engagement, it was a contractual obligation. And in order for that not to take place, there would have to be a divorce proceeding, much like you would think it is today. It wasn't as complex as situations are today, but it was pretty straightforward. And under the law, Joseph had some recourse because Mary was found to be pregnant, and that was not okay because she had breached the agreement that they had, the contractual agreement. And instead of going that route and publicly disgracing her, which he had entitlement to do, he had the entitlement to sue, just to let you know. Instead of going that route, he decided he's just going to do everything quietly and put it to the side. Now, why is that important? Well, the first characteristic we talked about regarding Joseph was that he was obedient because he had a dream and he responded immediately to the personal instruction of God. But the second part that's really important is to understand that Joseph was not a jerk. You think, you can't say that on Christian radio. The dude was not a jerk. And there are a lot of people that name the name of Christ who are hardly any different than anybody in the world, and that's not a good thing. This guy was a merciful guy. He didn't want really bad things happening. He didn't want Mary to be scarred for life. At this point, he had not had the dream. He did not realize this was a divine element that was taking place, that God was working. He had limited knowledge to the situation, pretty much like you and I have in every situation. But the kind of character that he had was he was not going to just dump this whole thing on Mary. He wasn't going to play the victim. He wasn't going to be poor me. You know, she was unfaithful. He was just going to divorce her quietly and move on with life and believe that God could and would help him out. And here's what people don't get. He was cool about this. He was a nice guy. He was a merciful guy. He wasn't a jerk. And so he wanted to just do this and kind of keep it as simple as possible. And you think, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because it says it specifically in the text, verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He's just going to make this, just get this done, move it on. And if you think about his attitude about it, he's not trying to hurt anybody. He's trying to have this right spirit, this right attitude. And boy, could a lot of Christians use a dose of being Joseph in the world. They can use that in their lives, I should have said. Because he was a nice, merciful guy. The other day, somebody cut me off while I was driving. And, oh, God, I was so tempted. You know, I'm just going to ride right behind that person. And it's like, that is the wrong spirit to have. You can't do that. That's not what the Lord wants. And so it's like, got to let that go. Got to be a merciful person. Who knows what's going on in that person's life? Maybe they could care less. Maybe they got something very serious going on. I don't know. So the second characteristic I want to point out, the first one is that Joseph was obedient, and the second one was that he was not a jerk. He was a merciful guy. Here's the third one. This is out of Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli. And so here, the whole principle here in this one is that Joseph was what we would call a step-up parent. You ever heard the expression a step-parent? Okay. Now, there's step-parents in our legal system. We call them step-parents. And so it's a husband and wife get together, and one or both have children, and then there's a mixing or a blending, or, you know, somebody marries into somebody who's already got kids, and they become the step-parent. And we talk about that all the time. And most of the time, there's a couple of high-minded, goofy kind of people that are like, I never use the phrase step-parent because I am too righteous and holy and snobby to use it. Well, that's all fine, but really what people should be, if they're taking those positions willfully and getting into that place, is they should be recognized as step-up parents because they're stepping up and they're offering their lives, their assistance, their wisdom, their insights into people's lives that they were not responsible for bringing in. Sometimes that goes very poorly, as you are well aware. But sometimes it goes smashingly. It goes fantastic. And there's a very little amount of honor that goes up to step-up parents, and that's a shame. Because anybody who enters into another adult's life and is willing to commit themselves, their resources, their time, their treasure, and their talents to help direct those that are younger, those that have no direction, that should be acknowledged. That should be honored. And if you don't understand it, I'm going to say it in the nicest possible way. Joseph was a step-parent. Remember, Mary was part of this pregnancy process that the Holy Spirit was in here creating life, but Joseph was kind of on the outside here. And what's cool about Joseph is he's not going to make this any different, not going to treat this any different. This is Joseph's little boy. And that's how he walked it, and that's how he taught it. We're going to get into how we know that because of the different things he did. We're going to look at that and examine that. But I want to take that time and to acknowledge that we got family getting together, and there's loneliness that takes place during the holiday times, and there's difficulty. And I will say that there are step-up parents that have done nothing but love and give and committed to people all throughout our country and the world. And it would be such a wonderful thing if people would give acknowledgement to every one of those people that stepped up, because it's a action of sacrifice and commitment and love, and it gets very little reward most of the time, and that's too bad. And so I think of Joseph, and you think of these scriptural elements. He was obedient because he responded to God's personal instruction. The guy was not a jerk. He was merciful. He could have really dumped it on, played the victim, and really dumped it on Mary. He didn't do that at all. He, in fact, before he even knew it was the Lord's doing, he was just going to keep the whole thing quiet, make it very simple, not make a public spectacle of it all. And then this last element is he was a step-up parent, for which I think he should get acknowledgement. He doesn't get acknowledgement. How'd you like to be a step-up parent for the Son of the Living God? Like, uh-oh. You better not mess up this. You better do this good. And so here's Joseph, and he steps up into that place. Now, just think about the commitment that he's making, and think about what he's doing and taking that position. And people thought of Jesus. This is why this text is important in Luke 3:23. It says he was 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, or so it was thought of Joseph. People made that association that Jesus is a kid of Joseph's. That means that Joseph not only kept that position, but kept his connection with Jesus to such a degree that the reputation stayed intact. And it's an amazing and powerful ministry when somebody steps up to be a blessing into somebody else's life. And so that's my challenge to you. You got Christmas coming, you got things taking place. You know what? You can step up, even if you're not going to be the parent, but you can step up and be a blessing for somebody. That would be good, because that would be Christ-like. And you'd be being like Joseph. And as you can see, this dude, he is all about doing it right. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on, you don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? You know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple, because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you into life so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I never said I was a professional comedian. I just want to point there's some classic jokes there. All right. I only have a list of 10,000, but I've decided that Wonder Julie does not deserve to go through that in this last couple of days up to Christmas. See, I'm trying to be nice. It's going to be next year that I'm going to unload them all. See, might as well get ready. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. Apparently, the question I asked was much tougher than I thought. I did not realize that. This answer, by the way, is found in Revelation chapter 21. According to the Bible, how many pearly gates are there? Now, the reason that I ask it that way is because there are gates in the Bible in the New Jerusalem. There's a certain number. It's a very significant number. And the question is how many? The answer is more than one and less than a trillion. So somewhere between one and a trillion is your answer that you're looking for. But it is in Revelation chapter 21. Maybe the verse is a very similar number. I can't remember. But Revelation chapter 21, the question is straightforward. How many pearly gates are there in the Bible? And well, we already got an answer. See, I guess I got to ask the question twice. This is David. Merry Christmas. Who am I talking to?
Likewise, David. It's Bobby. How you doing?
Great, Bobby. Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Likewise, my brother.
All right. Talk to me now. How many gates made of pearl are there 12. In the book of Revelation?
12.
That is correct, sir. You are right. There are 12. That is right. Good job. That's an excellent job. Now, I don't know if I asked the question a little off in the beginning, because most people think of pearly gates, and then they think of all the jokes with Peter and sitting at the pearly gate or something like that. So did you know it right away? Were you kind of like you knew what was going on?
Well, I know it right away, but I know the mother was sapphire and all that other stuff. So
yeah, you had all the different jewels that are also a part of that with the 12. But yeah, good job on the pearly gates, brother. That was excellent work.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, bro. All right. Good job. Good job by our friend. All right, folks. That's the number 12. Pretty good. You're thinking 12? That's right. You got to just read Revelation chapter 21. Actually, you want to look at verses 12 through 21. We'll give you the very specific definitions on that. Let's go back into our discussion about Joseph. We're talking about the ABCs of Joseph, different characteristics of Joseph. We actually start off by talking about the fact that he was, first and foremost, obedient. Second, he was not a jerk. He was a merciful guy. And third, he was a step-up parent. I think is that important. By the way, the name Joseph means Jehovah increases. Well chosen to be in the position he was put in. Here is the next position. And this works together a little bit with understanding what Joseph must have been going through when Mary had you know, told him what was taking place, and then he has a dream, and he's trying to process it all. And I want to say, as a Christian, I think there's this mindset that, one, everything is smooth and there's never any difficulty if you're in the will of God. So I want to dispel that ridiculous truth, because it's not true at all. It's actually a lie. When Jesus and his disciples were together, Jesus said, get in the boat, we're all going on the other side. They all got in the boat, went on the other side. What happened? A mighty wind came and opposed them, and there was struggle in the boat, and the boat was going to tip over. The boat was going to sink with water. You couldn't get any more in the perfect will of God than the 12 disciples sitting there with Jesus, and Jesus saying, hey, get in the boat. Here, we're all going over to the other side. That's the perfect will of God. Yet there were still contrary winds and waters sweeping in. Because somewhere in the back of somebody's mind, somewhere, they came up with this notion that if you follow the Lord, you'll never have any problems. And whoever came up with that must have been sitting in the room with Satan, smoking a few doobies, because that has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. In fact, the perfect life of Jesus Christ involved crucifixion. So it's just like, what are you talking about? And there's not a single person save Enoch who couldn't identify that went through a very tough time, prophets and all. And it's like, no, you go through this with the Lord and you endure with the Lord. There's nothing that's overly simplified. So when you have somebody who's committed to you, like God had committed to Joseph, the raising of Jesus Christ, and you have Mary, whom you've not impregnated, and she's pregnant and you're taking on responsibility, and then you have the Lord saying, do these things, this is the direction we're going to go. I just look at Joseph with admiration. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 5. It says he went there, referring to Bethlehem, to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be married to and was expecting a child. He went, he registered, he took ownership in the parenting position. That registration had to do with who you were, what tribe you were connected to, who you were related to, who you were going to be related to, what you did for a living. It had a lot of information in it. And he went in there and put in there, I'm a part of this. And he believed that God was working all of it together for the best. He had a plan, and he was trusting in God, and he was interpreting with faith everything that was going to take place. Let me say something about that right now. People fail often to interpret things with faith. They take such a literal position on things, they are unable to see that the hand of God is at work. Can I give you a prime example? When Saul, the first king of Israel, when the donkeys that Saul had were lost, his father Kish said, go find the donkeys. At the same time, God said to Samuel, I'm going to send you a king. So from Kish and from Saul's point of view, they were looking for donkeys. From God's point of view, he was sending the king to Samuel to be anointed. On one hand, it's looking for donkeys. On another hand, God's ordaining a king. Two completely different interpretations of the same event. That's what you got to know. And when you look at things like Joseph did, and he was like, look, this is what part of the plan. This is where we're going. And what did he do? He made the registration. He made the registration. By the way, it says he went to register with Mary, not apart from Mary. Took on his ownership, took on the ownership as a father, took on the ownership as a husband, and said, here we go, we're doing it by faith. He was trusting in God, and he was interpreting through faith the events that were taking place. It's something that we've talked about a lot on this show. It's looking at the events and trying not to sit there and say, these events are so entrenched, there's nothing that can change. That's ridiculous. If God wanted to wipe away the world in a thought, it would be gone. You think, well, he can't do that. You tell God that. Go on. You go up there, knock on the door, get into heaven, stand before God and say, you can't do whatever you want. I say so. You see how that doesn't work? So we have to look at these things recognizing at any point that God enters, it changes everything. And we have to also recognize that God has our best interests in mind. And even as we look at things and do things and don't understand and even don't like some of the things that we have to do, We do them as unto the Lord because we trust that he has a purpose, he has a plan, and we interpret it with faith. And so there he took action. He registered and did what he had to do, taking on ownership as a dad and taking on ownership as a husband, taking on ownership and responsibility because he believed that God was in play. And he better had been responsive to that. Luke chapter 2, verse 22, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Joseph was not only a guy that believed the best, trusted in God for the circumstance, interpreting it with faith, he also kept God as his priority. He had a responsibility in the law. He wanted to fulfill it. He wanted to be honorable. And so they went to Jerusalem to present Jesus as the time required. And so you just think about what he's doing. He's like, here I am. I'm presenting. Here I am. I'm with my wife. I'm with my son. I'm presenting my son to you. Obeying what the Lord had commanded and what the Lord had desired and what the Lord had designed. I'll tell you, the hardest thing I have found walking as a Christian after 41 years and seeing more up and downs than any Duncan yo-yo can ever dream of, the hardest thing is to do the thing you know you're supposed to do when things just look so weird you feel like the heavens are falling in on your head. It's the hardest thing. But what else are you going to do? Where else are you going to go? What are you going to do? Are you going to quit the faith and just go, all right, well, forget it? And then when you die, you'll face God. I don't think that's the way you want to do this. That's not the way I want to do this. So you have to think of it in those terms from time to time. You have to look at the event and say, you know what? Even though I don't get it, even though I don't like it, even though I don't understand it, I think God is pointing me in this direction. I got to do the best I can to fulfill it. That's part of living. The Christian walk. You never give up. You move forward. You can't move backwards. You know what you can't do? You can't go, I think I'll just step back into yesterday. Guess what won't happen? That. You can't step back into yesterday. You can only move forward. You can do nothing about the past, but everything about what's up and coming. So these characteristics of Joseph, they're just the quality of this guy is just amazing. He was obedient. He wasn't a jerk. He was a merciful guy. He was a step-up parent. He believed the best and trusted the circumstance by interpreting it with faith. He trusted in God, and he kept God in his priority, and he did what he knew the Lord wanted him to do all the way through. And it's like, wow, I want half of that. I want 10% of that. But when God chose him, he chose wisely. It wasn't just Mary that he chose. It was the couple. And God chose wisely in choosing Joseph, whose name means Jehovah increases. Guess what? When Joseph was done with his parenting, Jehovah increased on the earth, right? Because there was Jesus in his ministry. That makes sense? All right, take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
On Christ.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, davidspoonmedia.com is our website. For the first time in Texas, somebody has called in and actually has a joke that they want to offer up, so I'm going to answer. Hold on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, you're talking to Hollis Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm calling from Granbury, Texas.
You're calling from Cranberry, I love that. Cranberry, Texas. Is that, now I don't
Granbury.
Know Texas. I don't know where, so Granbury. So is that far from Irvine? Is it Irving? Is that a long distance, short distance?
Well, it's not too far from Weatherford.
Okay. I'm gonna leave this.
Southwest Fort Worth area.
Got it. Okay, now I gotcha. See, I'm still learning the geography. You have to be patient with me. You have to be patient with me because the scripture commands it anyway, but I'm just saying. All right, so my understanding is you have a joke, and I'm looking forward to it. Do you have a joke you want to share with us?
Yes. You have my sense of humor, and this is a joke I didn't hear you tell. Who's the shortest man in the Bible?
Who is the shortest man in the Bible? Tell me who.
That would be Bildad the Shoe Height.
Ah!
You're pretty short if you're only shoe height.
That is excellent. Good job. This is a shoe height level. Excellent job, my friend. Very good. Well received and well done. You did an excellent job on that. Anytime you have a joke like that you think is good, you call in. You're welcome to get right on the air. We'll put you on.
Okay. If I think of another one, I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it very much. You have a fantastic
you're
Christmas.
Welcome.
Okay. God bless you. All right. And our first call-in joke. Nothing is impossible in this show. That's all I can say. Poor Wonder Julie. It's like, you people think this is funny? Yeah. You should see my drive home. Right now, this is funny. All right. Let's finish up. Good job on the joke. Thank you so much. Let's finish up with Joseph. We only have a little bit of time left. I want to make sure we get to it. So we've talked about a couple of characteristics that Joseph has. He wasn't picked by accident. I think most people can figure out if God is going to say, okay, well, I'm going to have my son, and he's going to come through Mary, but it really doesn't matter about the husband. I mean, who thinks that? Nobody. So Joseph was obedient. He wasn't a jerk. He was a merciful guy. He was a step-up parent. He believed the best in his situation, trusting in God and interpreting it with faith, and he kept God as his priority. Matthew 2:14, I think, is an excellent element about parenting. It says this, when he was warned in a dream, it says this. So he got up, he took the child and mother during the night and left for Egypt. This is Matthew 2:14. One of the things you know about Joseph is that he was warned in a dream that there was danger for the family and danger specifically for the child. What did he do? He protected the family. That's what he did. Whatever it takes to protect. In this particular case, it'd be one thing if there was one person that was like, okay, I'm going to come and I'm gonna try and do something bad. But in this case, you had the entire government structure that were coming after his particular child. He had no, unless he had developed an instant army, he had no choice but to remove the child from that situation, as a good parent would do whatever it takes to keep the safety of their child at the forefront. He didn't worry about people, you know, thinking less of him. He went to protect his family. That's what he did. And it's like, that's good fathering. You and I ought to be appreciative of that. In fact, I wish fathers were more involved in protecting their kids. And I'm not just talking about physical protection, but there's emotional protection, there's psychological protection, there's mental protection. There's so much rubbish going on between the left and right ear of so many kids and so many people. It'd be really good for fathers to take a concern and to make sure that their kids are not bathed in the insanity of the world and the world system. It's a horrible thing. I mean, the world system is so far gone. They can't even – I mean, they're at the point of excessive delusion. It's like, you don't want that in your kids' brains. That's the worst thing ever. So you really, as a parent, must appreciate that Joseph, he did what he had to do to protect his family. Now, when we talk about Mary tomorrow – so we got Joseph today and Mary tomorrow. Today is the ABCs of Joseph. Tomorrow's the ABCs of Mary. We're going to find out that they have some similar crossovers. But here's something that I want you to catch, and I think it's an important part. It comes out of Luke 2:39-40. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I want to say something about Joseph in this process, because it's, again, not well said and not often said, but the Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, trusted Joseph. Now, he's sovereign, and he's almighty, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, but he entrusted Joseph with the care of Jesus. And I want you to think about what that says, because God entrusts his kids with very, very precious materials on a regular basis. In this case, God the Father entrusted Joseph with the care of God the Son in his infancy, in his most vulnerable state. And God demonstrates his confidence in you and I by entrusting to us certain responsibilities, certain elements, like, for example, the gospel, the greatest message of all humanity ever, and God entrusts the care and the proclamation of that gospel into your hands because he has confidence in you. He doesn't expect every person to preach like Billy Graham. I think Billy Graham didn't expect Billy Graham to preach like Billy Graham, especially when you read some of his personalized material. He doesn't expect every person to do the same thing that all of these people do that are in these mega window, mega big pictures. What God expects his kids to do is faithfully carry with them wherever they go the gospel of peace. Have you ever noticed when it talks about the gospel of peace and the armor of God, it talks about the gospel of peace, your feet being shod with the gospel of peace. You want to know why your feet are attached to the gospel of peace? So that the gospel of peace goes wherever you go, you bring it with you to declare it and share it with people that you engage with. That's why it's connected to the feet. Because it should go everywhere you go. And so people need to it's really – people maybe need to realize, especially you got this Christmas and we've chosen this day to celebrate and people are like, well, it could be off. It could have been at this time. It could have been this time. God's not up there going, oh, my goodness, I'm so mad they're off by a day. I mean, come on. That's just silly. This is silliness. What God is passionate about in regards to us is, hey, take what I've shared with you, touched you with, changed your life with, and share that with others. Be available to share that with others. Communicate that with others. There, this is the great message that God has provided a way of salvation through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, if you just read Acts chapter 2, you all the arguments and all the theology, and everybody's arguing about the Holy Spirit and this, and it's a huge argument in the church theologically. And what a lot of people miss is this. The main message that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 is Jesus rose from the dead. We have a hope here, people. It's valid, it's real, and we ought to share it. That was the main thrust. And it was that brought 3,000 people to get baptized and make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because they can live forever. Man has been looking for the fountain of youth for all of this time, and yet because of the entrance of Jesus Christ, life and immortality has been brought to light through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like, are you looking for that? Well, here it is. God has provided it. And he's entrusted you and I with that message. Because he has confidence in us like he had confidence in Joseph to take care of Jesus. Not just like, that's cool. Yeah, that is cool. I like that. So you look at Joseph and you think he was obedient. He was not a jerk. He was a merciful guy. He was a step-up parent. He believed the best, interpreting the situation with faith and trusting in God. He kept God as his priority. He watched over his family and protected them. And then he presented all of those things to the Father, and the Father entrusted him by having him raise Jesus Christ and him have influence on Jesus. If you don't think Joseph influenced Jesus, you've lost your mind. He was his dad. And so it's really important to get the grip. Joseph, which means Jehovah increases, was a major component to the Christmas story. And instead of just thinking of it kind of like pie in the sky, we should recognize this guy stepped up. And this guy helped bring the gospel to fruition for you and I. He deserves our appreciation at a minimum. Okay. It's all right?
It's all right.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Can't stand the shame.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.